Hey, today's topic is hidden issues, which is to say is that in at a Shrita, of course, lots of attention is paid to the Shrita, the Bedika, the Nika, Malicha, even the way the food is packaged, the meat is packaged, and seals and things like that. But there are some issues that are sort of out of the way, and you may not catch the eye of the Mashgichim, not the main place where they're focusing on. We're going to mention a couple of different issues. In the end analysis, many of them are not questions at all, or not usher at all. They're fine, they don't cause a concern. It's something worth just being aware of, and in some cases, actually being concerned about as well. Okay? And the first one, we're going to speak about, is called the dewlap tab. Okay, the dewlap is the part of the hide or the skin that's below the neck, like between the neck and the brisket, as you go down the front of the animal. It sort of like hangs down. In the zebu cows, it's like really, you know, extreme how much it hangs down, but in all cows have some kind of a piece of hide like that that's called a dewlap. And in some farmers will put a tag for the animal into that spot. Instead of in the ear or someplace else, they'll attach it over there. It seems to have some advantages to being able to be put in very young, and it stays on, it doesn't fall off, all kinds of ideas of why it might be good. And in some countries, I believe in Europe and maybe other places, it's considered inhumane to do that. But for our purposes, there is such a thing. And the way they put it in is that they use some kind of like a hole puncher. They punch a hole in the animal's, in the skin, in the hide, punch it right through, then put this, put the hasp through and tighten it, and then it stays on, and it stays there permanently in that part of the animal's neck. And the question is, that there's a general rule that if you cut it, if there's any kind of a cut, we've spoken about this in the past, if you give any kind of a cut into the animal in its neck, then you have to be concerned that maybe it's a suffering nekuvas ha-veshet. Maybe the veshet got cut, and the veshet a cut, even the smallest hole, would make the animal to a trefa. So the question is, does this tag, okay, the tag is put on long before it comes to the shechita, but if the animal shows up like that, with a tag like that, would that render the animal a suffering trefa because of that? So, Rabbi Fishbein told us, Rav Twersky told him that he shouldn't be worried about it, so we'll try to give an explanation to why that should not be a concern. So, seemingly, it's because there's basically no chance that this tag would have hit the veshet. And in other words, it's in there roughly in the neck area, I guess. If you did shechita from that spot, it would be kosher. Technically, it would be kosher, but not really. And that's because at the place where we do shechita, a little higher up, much higher up on what we call the neck part of the animal, over there, the kana and the veshet are right up alongside the skin, the hide of the animal. So when you cut through them, if you make a cut over there, you have a concern, maybe it would cut the veshet. But as you go down vertically, and into this dewlap area, the kun and veshet don't follow down. The kun and veshet go horizontally. That is to say, they go back to the kun into the lungs, and the veshet to the keras, to the beginning of the stomach. They go horizontally, like sort of along parallel to the animal's spine. They go back towards the back of the animal. So the kana and veshet are going in one direction, and the dewlap is going in a little different direction. So it's really hard to imagine that if you make a hole in the dewlap, that you'd actually hit the kana and veshet. They're relatively far away at that point. It's not like usually if you make a cut, like if you're shaving the animal in order to shecht it, that you're right there, right where the kana and veshet are. You might by mistake hit it. Okay. As you go down there, there's a gland, the thymus gland. It's a meus that we take out. We spoke about it in Nikor. There's a mishum meus, something that we take out over there. And the person who's putting in the tag, presumably, is aware of that and would want to go lower than that. So he's gonna head, if you're not doing it, if you can't make a cut high in the neck, which he wouldn't want to do, he doesn't want to hit it, so he would want to avoid this and go even lower to go below the thymus gland. Which is, again, is that much further away from the kana and the veshet. Now, in a related thing that we saw way back when we spoke about this, was that many acharonim say that if there's a person who's a skilled operator who knows what he's doing and makes a hole in the animal's neck in a way that he's being careful to not hit the veshet, then you could accept that. And we spoke about then whether that everyone agrees to that, but there are many acharonim who say like that. And this would be another example of that, where the people who are putting this in are obviously trying to avoid hitting Kana and Veshet. I think they even try to avoid the thymus also. They're doing it in this doula because it's a nice, quiet area. There's nothing really going on over there. Nothing important there. And therefore, we just don't have to be worried that the animal is a treva. Now, there's another reason potentially to be mekel, and that is that these tags are put in when the animal is very young. Like this, to identify the animal from when it's young, and assuming that the animal is shechted more than 12 months later, which it probably is, the animal is, let's say, you know, was put in when it was a calf, or, you know, a few months old, and now it's being shechted, it's more than 12 months later, then we have another rule, which we've spoken of as well, which is that we have a soft trefa, and then the animal lives for 12 months, then we know that it was not a trefa. So if on a certain day we put the tag in, and it's a suffix, maybe hit, the biggest suffix we have is maybe hit the veshet, well then if the animal is still alive 12 months later, we know that it did not hit the veshet at that time, so that would be a right that the animal is not a treif. Okay, now on to our next thing. That is now moving like, we're going to sort of go in order of the process of how you'd see the animal, how the animal would progress. The next is that there's something called a prod, an electric prod. The people who work on farms call them hot shots. Okay, and they are, it's a stick, it's got electrodes at the end of it, and the idea is that if those electrodes touch something, there's two electrodes, if they touch something and create a circuit, then it gives a shock. Okay, it's like what a more advanced version, a more lethal version of this is a taser, or a stronger version of that, or a taser. But in for animals, it's called an electric prod. It gives a little bit of a jolt of a shock to the animal, and the reason why it's used is because the farmer wants to get the animal to move someplace. The animal's not going along with what they want it to do, so you give a little, basically, this shock in its back, in the back of the animal, and that sort of jolts it and gets him going. In a shechita, in a slaughterhouse, it would have the same use, and that is if the animal's not walking through towards the pen for shechita, or it's in the pen, but his head is not, you know, he's not adjusting his head to be in the holder that holds his head in place, so one of the employees would just give it a jab in the back, and that would sort of shock the animal and get him to move along and get to where he's supposed to be. So the USDA or FSIS, they regulate them, and they say the shock is not allowed to be more than 50 volts. That's for humane reasons. Temple Grandin, for example, for humane reasons, says that if you shock animals too many, if your slaughterhouse is shocking the animals too many times, then she doesn't grade you as well. from humane terms. So in this context, there's two different basic ways to make the prods. One is battery-operated, and the other one is it connects electricity in the plant, so that loops around the wire, and it's connected to electricity in the plant. So in regard to the humaneness and the strength of how much electricity passes through the prod, the battery-operated ones give much less electricity or much less of a jolt, and therefore from the humane side, and potentially for our side, for cautious reasons, we would have less of a concern for a battery-operated one because there's less of a charge to the animal. Okay, so most hashgachas don't have any problem with them. Let the slaughterhouse use any kind of prod they want to, battery-operated or electric, whatever they want to do, that's okay. And, you know, there's a big shiloh, we talked about it briefly, passed it briefly, about whether if you stun an animal before shechita, whether that's acceptable before shechita. And many achronim, as we know, are against that. But the big difference in stunning and prodding is that the stunning is meant to make the animal insensate. That should not have any, it shouldn't sense, it should be sort of not able to feel anything. And of course, that's much stronger than what you do for the prodding. The prodding is not meant to do that at all. The prodding is just meant to just give it a little jolt and get it to move along from here to there. It's not nearly as strong as whatever that is and could cause any potential issues with Mafli Dame Varim and Risuki Varim and things like that. Now, another reason, before I get to that, another reason is that you put the prod goes into the back of the animal as opposed to the stunning, which usually is like in the shoulders or the front of the animal. So in the back of the animal, dam and trefa issues are not so significant. We don't eat the back of the animal, so if there's some dam gets mobile day farm in the back, that wouldn't concern us. Trefa, there isn't so much in the back that's sensitive that could make the animal to a trefa back there. Now, as far as what I said beforehand about it not being as strong as stunning, when I was in a plant that was using it, one of the employees said, I'll show you that it's not strong. And he took it and he put it on his hand and he poked his hand and nothing, didn't seem to bother him at all. As if to prove that it's not a strong shock at all. Now, of course, something's wrong with that proof, because the animals sure get shocked. There's a reason why the animals move along. You know, the animal that weighs 2,000 pounds moves, so this guy who weighs 200 pounds sure should be shocked. I mean, maybe because he was wearing rubber boots, that he doesn't, you know, there's no circuit, or whatever reason, but that didn't see, obviously there was some kind of a shocking, but it's way less than goes on with the stunning, and most hashgachos don't consider it a concern. They let them do whatever they want to. There is, however, one hashgacha that does not. One hashgacha says you can only use battery-operated ones and not the ones that plug into, that are part of the plant's electricity or connected to the plant's electricity. And when I asked them about that, I said, why do you differ? Like, what's your reason? So it has nothing to do with what was stunning, nothing to do with Mavli Dambe Varim and Risik Varim, none of that kind of stuff. That's not the problem. The problem is that their Rav Amashi was once in a plant which was used a prod, and they prodded the animal a bunch of times. I guess it was really stubborn. It wasn't moving what it was supposed to. And the animal died. It dropped dead from that. So that just made him concerned that, you know, that's obviously not the usual practice, but maybe it'll make the animal into a misukenis. If you do it, let's say it'll take five times to kill the animal, and you did it four times, the animal might be a misukenis, and therefore the animal, you shouldn't shuck that animal. Now, of course, there are tests to see if an animal is a misukenis. Chances are these animals would pass that test. It has to do with moving the limbs after shechita, but no shaykh is paying any attention to it. He's not looking for that. And therefore, they made a rule that you cannot use the products that are connected to electricity to give us enough of a jolt that he was concerned that it might make the animal do misukenis. Okay, our next issue is something that happens. So far, we did some things before shechita. Now we can move to after the shechita. And that is processors, meat processors, came up with this idea that if you shock the animal, it's called stimulate the animal with a big jolt of electricity after the shechita, after the slaughter, then the meat comes out more tender. It has to do with hastening rigor mortis, and somehow that makes the meat more tender. It could be done right away after the shechita. It could be done after the slaughter. It could be done right after the slaughter, a little after the slaughter, a little before they take the hide off, which helps get the hide off also. If it has an extra benefit, it makes it easier somehow to get off the hide. Or it could be done way later on with a lot of electricity. There's different methods of doing it. And it appears from the scientific look at it that this electrical stimulation causes more blood to come out of the carcass than would come out naturally. So from that perspective, if it's true that more blood is coming out, that's good for hashgacha. That would be good for us. The more blood that comes out, the better. So we would be that in itself is a positive piece of information. However, many people who spoke about it were not in favor of this practice. And they said, you know, the idea that we're going to make the rigor mortis, the animal, you know, stiffening up, and the muscles stop moving, may happen more quickly. That's the goal here. That's their goal of by doing that makes the meat somehow more tender. That might cause dam to get stuck in certain places. You know, we don't really know. There's a din. You can't have dam that got stuck in some place and didn't drain out the way it's supposed to. It could cook the blood inside the meat. It could move, it could be, you know, make the dam be purged from one place to the other and not drain out like it's supposed to. Or it could cause things that we're not even aware of. We don't even know what other effects it has on melicha. Some invoke what the Primogadon says. Primogadon says that you should be careful about the halachas of melicha and these kind of dinim, because it's karav ma'od le'isur Torah. You know, in most cases, melicha issues are only drabanans, because dam is only also if it was pirish, not if it was salted, not if it was cooked. There's lots of cases where it's only drabanan, but it's karav ma'od le'isur Torah. It's very close to being an isur d'oraisa, and if you should be careful, particularly careful about it. So it's a sure apprehension to try to do something new that may have an effect on the way the blood will come out eventually. Therefore, none of the reputable American hashgachos will allow this. I include it here, not when we talk about melicha, because it's a hidden thing. It's something that goes on in the parts of the plant between the shechita and the bedika, like someplace where people are not paying so much attention to it. And so therefore, it's worth just mentioning this idea. Okay. One last thing that we're going to talk about, and that's something called rotting the weasand. Okay, a weasand. The weasand is another word. Excuse me. Weasand is another word for the veshet, for the esophagus. I'm not sure it's a technical term. I'm not sure why in this context that's the word they use, but that's what it's called. So it's the veshet, the raw veshet. What does that mean? That means is that the USDA has what they call a zero tolerance for hair and fecal matter and ingesta being left on the carcass. Ingesta means things that the animal ingested, like food that it ate. Okay, they don't want none of that left on the carcass because it could cause contamination. So there's a little bit of a problem, which is once you shech the animal, so you've cut open the veshet. The veshet is the pipe that connects the mouth to the stomach, to the stomachs. So that means is now the veshet was cut and the animal is hung upside down, that means that the stuff, the ingesta, the food that was inside the animal's stomach can come pouring out. Now that tube is now open to the outside and it can come pouring out. So you want to close that up. So what they do is they eventually, at the end of this process, they're going to clip that veshet closed, the weasel, they're going to clip it closed. But before they do that, what they do is as follows. They take this rod, as you see in the picture, they take the rod, and they wrap the veshet around the veshet, like the muck, at the place of the slaughter, at the shechita, makom ha-shechita, the veshet, they wrap it around this pole, and then they hold on to the kana and the veshet, and they push up on the veshet, on this pole, on this rod, so that the rod pushes itself up the veshet all the way back to the carcass, all the way back to the first stomach. So what's going on is that any food that's in the veshet while this is going on gets pushed back into the stomach, and then they put a clip at the top near the carcass, near the stomach part of it, so that there's not, they've basically drained out the whole veshet, the whole esophagus, and they then clipped it off that nothing more can drain out. And as when they, part of doing this, that the concern is that this rod, which is wrapped around the veshet, will separate the veshet from the kana, they're connected to each other, separate from any other muscles or parts of the animal that the veshet is attached to, because it's running up alongside the veshet, and potentially could make a hole in, could rip off a sircha that would be on the lungs. We spoke about this a little bit. We spoke about cutting at the makom ha-shechita. If the people would go around and trim around there, would they maybe, if you cut too high, you're going to potentially cut off a sircha that was there on the parts of the lung that stick all the way down into the neck area, like the mispatzels, that hang into the, stretch into the lung, into that area. Almost every plant does this. It's a pretty common thing to be done in plants. And the problem is, again, that maybe we can, it might end up leading to knocking off the sircha or moving the lungs around in a way that we'll miss something that was really a problem there. So, some of our machshirim do not allow it because of that. They're concerned they will not let them be rod the weasen. This rod and the weasen happens behind, there's like very quickly, very shortly after the shechita, in places where, again, when mashgichim are usually not present. In one shechita where they did allow it, I asked the Boidik, like, you know, about this potential that it would affect the sirchus, and he said, no, he said, there's no problem, okay? And then he showed me, he said to me, come here, and he took me over, and had me, he went to an animal that had not yet had this done yet, procedure done to it yet, and he had me stick my hand up all the way up along the whole path that the veshet takes, all the way up till it hits the carcass, or as far as it would go up, as far as you get, right now, to the garage, you probably bang into the lungs first, all the way up, and he showed me that there's nothing there, there was nothing in the way, and running the rod up there would not affect, should not by any means affect the anything important, so to speak. Therefore, that's why he led it. He said he doesn't see any problems with it. That sort of did seem right. On the other hand, you have to wonder whether, let's say, in a small animal, like in a sheep, whether there'd be more of an issue, and also you have to wonder if how careful people are, and whether they're a little bit more haphazardly done, if that could potentially hit something that it wasn't supposed to. So again, some hashgachas don't allow it. Most aren't aware or just don't pay any attention to it and effectively allow it to go on. Okay, just before I finish, just want to mention, we've mentioned other kinds of things like this, other kind of hidden issues, when we spoke about what happens right after the shechita, before anything else happens. Again, and some of these things happen out of the makom ha-shechita, like in a separate little room, we again, there's nobody there, or behind, so to speak, behind the wall, we wouldn't see it, like stabbing the heart to get it to bleed better, or cutting the neck another time, or a captive bolt shot into its head, or cutting the mafrekas. We spoke about these different things about whether they raise issues. And again, they're in places where they may not be so visible, and maybe out of the eye of the regular mashgichim.